NCC, National Capital Campaign.
Strong and calm me weak, but still your secrets I will keep. Took for granted all the times I never let you down. We stumbled in and bumped your head. If not for me, then you'd be dead. I'll fix you up, put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might, kryptonite.
Box, just leap out and explore our world in ways you've never imagined? You can have that opportunity. As we grow and expand, new features will be added, allowing you to experience radio programming at a fresh new level. I invite you to join me, November Hansen, host of Voice of the People. Together, we can expand our horizons and peer into multifaceted possibilities. This program will broadcast live Saturday evenings on the Paranormal Radio Network.
This land is yours.
Join host Basima Farhat on The People Speak as she interviews guests from the realm of politics, activism, spirituality, science, and entertainment. That's Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on The People Speak, an audience interactive program where your voice counts.
This land was made.
Light up your night with The Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, this is James Arthur Yanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth via the path of non-contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality, all without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. The lack of contradiction is the final judge here. On Feet to the Fire. Feet. Sunday evenings.
To the fire. listen? Fire. www.feet2fire.com for more information.
The Unabridged Universe. Join us from 7 to 9 Central Standard Time, Saturdays, as host Jason Wilson and I, Victoria Rose, bring you the perspectives of guests on every topic, from extraterrestrials on the edge of the galaxy to issues that affect you right here at home. It's a big universe out there, and we're likely to cover anything. Do you have any topics that you'd like to have discussed? Know any researchers or free thinkers out there you'd like to have on the show? Log on to www.unabridgeduniverse.com and let us know, only on the Paranormal Radio Network. You're listening to Truth Hurts Radio with your host, Charles Giuliani. Can you handle the pain?
Welcome to our second installment of Truth Hurts Radio. For those of you that tuned in last week, you'll recall we discussed 9/11 and many of the problems with the official government story thereof. Although not in enough detail, you'd need a good 6 or 10 hours to really do justice to that. And of course, as the weeks and months roll on here, and years, hopefully we'll be going for years, I intend to go into it in a lot more detail. We'll be having some prominent guests in the 9/11 Truth Movement to discuss this, and as you tune in more and more, you'll be hearing more of the problems. We barely scratched the surface last week, but basically the show was meant as an introduction to that topic, and I gave my link for those of you that want to look into it further. I now have a banner up at ParanormalRadioNetwork.com. You can go there and click on the Truth Hurts banner. It'll take you right to the 911blog.org site, and just down on the right, you'll see Piercing the Fog of 9/11, fully documented, showing my resources, where I got my information from, so you can see I'm not making this stuff up. And also, you'll see there another file I wrote called New World Disorder, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight. 9/11 is kind of a good introduction to this topic, because 9/11 and several other fiascos that have been pulled off on us over the years is what is leading us to what is called this New World Order. The New World Order really is what this is all about. It's this push for world government. Every tyrant in history has always had that as an objective, to rule the world. You know, Hitler wanted to do it, Napoleon wanted to do it, the Caesars wanted to do it. They literally wanted to control every person on the planet, to exploit them, to enslave them. Not only for profit, but just for the sheer sake of power. These people get off on power. They like to be able to raise their hand and say, you know, sit, beg. And they get off on the fact that multiplied millions or even billions of people will do exactly what they say. So this is what we're dealing with here. This is not something new. The New World Order is actually an old idea. It's been, you know, the objective of every tyrant all through human history. There have been many who have come close to achieving that, but never quite were able to do it. The New World Order we're looking at here, that's being formed right now, doesn't deal with one single leader or even one country that's going to rule the world. It deals with all nations banding together and being run under one centralized system of laws. Ultimately, it's going to be the elites that are running the show. They're the ones pushing for it. The international financiers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Deutsches, the Fords, the Carnegies, on and on. These powerful, wealthy financiers who comprise the primary stockholders of the world's central banks, these are the ones who are profiting financially and politically from this kind of ideology, this one worldism. And, you know, what we're seeing forming now, this Pan-American Union that you hear so much about, those of you who watch CNN, for example, Lou Dobbs, he talks about this almost on a daily basis. And, you know, what he's referring to has very much to do with this push for the New World Order. It's the same with the European Union, you know, Africa. that has their version of it, South America, Asia. What we're seeing here is countries being merged regionally, ultimately with the purpose of banding them all together under one rulership, under one authority. It might be the UN, it might be something else that they'll introduce later, but, you know, that was the intent of the UN, to form a system that would ultimately, you know, be the head of this emerging world government. As a matter of fact, to really put this in perspective, you've got to step back pretty much to the early days of this country's history, because it has been through the United States primarily that these string pullers, these moneyed string pullers behind the curtain, have been operating to bring this design about. They've been using the financial and political and military resources of the United States to bomb and or coerce other nations into yielding their sovereignty over to this emerging system. It's not going to be the United States ruling the world. That's what a lot of people think is going on, but not really, because if you really take a close look, you'll discover that the scoundrels who are using our military, who are using our financial and political clout throughout the world, are not only dismantling other nations, invading other nations, bribing other nations with trade deals through the World Trade Organization, for example, but all the while that they're doing that, they're dismantling our own country here. So it's not going to be the U.S. ruling the world, because, again, they're systematically shredding this country. You have this Pan-American Union thing that's already been signed by Bush. It's due to kick in by 2010. It's going to involve merging Canada, Mexico, and the United States. It's going to involve removing the borders and introducing the AMERO. That's going to be the new form of currency. You're not going to have your dollar anymore by 2010, if not before then. This is the reality of what we're dealing with here. You've got the European Union has their euro. We're going to have the AMERO. And it's the same people behind the curtain pulling the strings, setting this all up, again, ultimately leading us to global domination. Back in 1970s, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who later became Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, had talked about this very thing. He said, in coming decades, we're going to see, in order to bring about world government, we're going to see nations being merged together on a regional basis first. This will make it easier to merge them later under one global rulership. So this has been the plan. You know, some of these regionalized unions have been brought together, you know, through political means. Some of them have been military means. You know, you've got NATO. It's a military union, but a union nonetheless, leading toward, again, this ultimate goal of globalization, bringing nations together. You've got your World Trade Organization. They're using economics there. You've got CETO. You've got the Organization of African States, of South American States. All of these groups, again, you know, they might seem different because some are more politically or financially motivated or oriented, but, you know, you climb the ladder and it's the same people pushing these things, creating these things, financing these things, and the ultimate goal, just as Brzezinski said, is leading us to world government. We need to recognize these things for what they are and understand what the ultimate agenda is here. What they want to do is reduce the world's population to poverty level, to third world status, and to concentrate all money and power at the top in the hands of a few. Right now, the Bush regime is serving that agenda quite well. Everything that these scoundrels have been wanting for decades is all now coming about in the wake of 9/11. They're using 9/11 as the catalyst to push all of these programs that have nothing to do with peace and justice and brotherhood and democracy and security and none of that. It's all hogwash. It's all a smokescreen. They're doing this, again, to disguise what their real motives are, to set up the most despotic, tyrannical system of world domination that mankind has ever seen. And if the world population doesn't wake up to this, it's not just the U.S. that's being fooled. A lot of people think, oh, those dumb Americans, can't they see that their president is evil? It's not just the dumb Americans. The world population as a whole, unfortunately, has been dumbed down and don't realize that pretty much whatever country you're in today, your leaders have sold you out, and they're all working together behind the scenes to create this global system of control. In fact, the only exceptions to the rule, really, are, you know, your Mideast countries, Iran. They're not aboard. They're not playing the game. Iran does not have a central bank. Neither does Syria. You know, Chavez's, you know, he's another one that's not ordered the CIA to beef up their efforts down in Venezuela. They want to take him out. Why? Because he's not going along with the program. He's a rebuke to them. He's offering gasoline at 12 cents a gallon, cheaper than water. He's exposing them for the frauds that they are. There's no need of charging this outrageous price that they're charging. They're making huge profits, sucking off of the public, driving up the cost of everything else. Nothing will do that more than raising the cost of petrol. It drives the cost of everything else across the board up, because it's mostly through petrol that your goods that you buy get to the stores. So, you know, they're increasing the cost of living exponentially while wages remain at a standstill, or in many cases drop because the high-paying jobs are getting sent overseas. And then a mass influx of immigrants in this country is driving down the wages even further. This is all being done in the interest of big corporations and the international financiers that own them. And, you know, it's high time we wake up to this. The mainstream media is never going to tell you this, naturally, because the mainstream media is owned by the same corporate interests, the same financial interests that are pulling the strings in Washington and in London and other, you know, major countries around the world. Folks, we need to wake up to this and see what's going on. And all you need to do to see what's going on is just look at some of these international financiers, what they have been saying over the decades. For example, and by the way, I was informed, I'm glad to hear, at least for tonight anyway, we won't be taking the half-hour breaks, we'll just be taking the mid-break at the top of the next hour. So that's good, because I intend to go on a pretty big rant here. As the show goes on, if anyone has comments here in our virtual auditorium on Pal Talk, you can feel free to raise your hand and questions as we go on into the show a little bit more. But anyway, let me read to you, in case there's any skeptics listening that doubt what I'm saying, that doubt that there is in fact this, I know a lot of people don't like that word, that C word, but that's exactly what we're dealing with here. It's a conspiracy. Conspiracies actually are the norm in history. They're not the exception. Corrupt leaders all through history have conspired with those who are well financially endowed to help back their endeavors for world domination, for control, for invasions of other countries. Each of them scratched each other's backs climbing that ladder to the top. Big business would benefit, as would big government, as, you know, as each would help each other toward those goals. And so that's what we're seeing today. It's no secret that Washington is run by big money. You have your lobbyist groups, there are tens of thousands of them that flock around Washington and fatten our politicians' wallets with generous contributions. They fund their campaigns, then once in office they give them more handouts, and naturally the sellout politicians acquiesce to their wishes. They don't care about we the people, they go where the money is. You know, that's a fact. Again, you might not want to hear it, but you cannot argue it. That is a fact. That is how our government works. It operates on behalf of big money, big business, regardless of the consequences to the general public. That's of no concern to them. That's where it's at. And big business today, big money, the big financiers, they want maximization of profits, minimization of your wages, and your rights. Because naturally, if you have too many rights, then you can stand up and oppose them and expose them. They don't want that. They want to silence you so that there'd be no voice of opposition out there that can pose a threat to them, so that the only avenue of information is the mainstream media, and that's all people will know, is what they're told. You know, they tell us what to think, how to think, when to think, and if you have any doubt about that, just look at Fox. Fox is the worst of all. Fox News formulates your opinion, and then they intimidate those who don't agree with them to coerce them into going along with the party line. You call that news? It's unbelievable that gullible fools can watch this trash and think that they're being informed. There's nothing truthful about it, folks. It's complete mind manipulation. Bill O'Reilly, for example, is particularly good at playing this sleazy game. He'll have guests on, and if they oppose him, quiet! I said quiet! Get off my show! I'm going to throw you off my show if you don't shut your mouth! You're unpatriotic! You're un-American! That's mind control, ladies and gentlemen. Pure propagandic mind control to coerce the watchers, the viewers, into accepting what is being said just based on the sleazy tactics. Nothing he says has any substance. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a complete lie. But the dumbed-down fools who watch this garbage will sit there and say, "Oh, look at that, Bill O'Reilly, put that guy in his place. All right, you go, Bill," when he hasn't said anything of substance whatsoever. All he has done is taken a few testosterone pills and given the impression that he's refuted his guess. He hasn't said anything. With that in mind, watch next time when he's got an opponent on and he's arguing with him. Watch. Listen very carefully, not to what he does say. Listen to what he doesn't say. That's the key. He doesn't say anything of substance. He doesn't even attempt to try to refute what his guests say, or his opponent guests say. He'll just try to intimidate them. He'll name call, you know, call them unpatriotic, un-American, or fool, or paranoid, or sucker, or whatever. But he will not address the issues that they raise. That is tantamount to understand that, to have to see that we're not dealing with news reporting here. This is just total mind-warping propaganda to sway the public to think the way they want you to think. That's not what news reporting is supposed to be. They're supposed to tell you what is going on in the world, and you decide how you want to think about it. But when they're telling you what to think, and that when their opposition comes on, they have to demonize them and make them look like fools, that is pure propaganda. If what they were saying was true, they wouldn't have to demonize the opposition. In fact, they would want to give the opposition the opportunity to present their case so they could make fools of themselves if their information was so incorrect. But again, if they have to attack them and demonize them, that tells you that what they're saying is correct, and they're afraid you're going to listen to them. So they just have them on to poke fun at them, name-call them, hoping they can sway you to agree and go along with what they're saying. Watch out, folks. This is going on a grand scale. All mainstream media do this, but Fox certainly has, leads the pack. They have the monopoly on that one. Anyway, let me proceed to read some quotes here, because as always, there's skeptics who will say, "Oh, you don't have any proof, you don't have any evidence." Let's go right to the horse's mouth here. David Rockefeller. The Rockefeller family, for over the past 150 years, has been at the helm in this country of leading us down the dark road of global domination. They've used their financial clout to buy up our politicians in Washington to get them compliant to push this agenda. It's gotten to the point now where you don't even get on the ballot anymore unless you have backing from these scoundrels, and unless you've promised to advance their agenda once in office. Here's what David Rockefeller wrote in his 2002 book, Memoirs. He said, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it." Did you catch that? He goes on and on for several sentences talking about how there's people out there who are paranoid, and they say that my family and I have been guilty of conspiring with others around the world to create a world government, and that we use our financial clout to control the world. He acts like it's crazy. These people are paranoid who make this charge. But then he ends off by saying, "If that is the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it." So there you go, folks. Once again, that's from his 2002 book, Memoirs. This is David Rockefeller admitting that he and his family have been busy working behind the scenes to create world government, using their financial clout to advance their own political interests, regardless what the public wants. They want total domination. They want all money, all power concentrated in their hands by stripping you of your wealth and your power, taking away your rights, your liberties, which is exactly what has been going on since 9/11. I'm hoping tonight that I will be able to put 9/11 in its proper perspective so that you can see that this was orchestrated not just to invade countries to steal their oil. That was just a little side. political leaders that have not been playing ball with them, that have not been going along with this world domination scheme. They're not going to tolerate any world leader not going along with this. And again, Chavez is a good example. They tried to say he was supporting Al-Qaeda a few years back, if you recall, because he's not going along with the program. He's standing up for the rights of his people. Regardless what you think of Chavez, it doesn't matter. They love him down there. And he's not going for the, you know, corporate takeovers and maximization of corporate profits at the expense of everyone and everything else. He's bounced out many American corporations, in fact, down there who were playing this game. And this is why they want to take him out. This is why, by the way, we went into so many countries during the Cold War. Always the excuse was given, well, we want to, to contain the expanding Soviet Empire. The Soviet Empire was not expanding. They had all they could do to manage their affairs at home. That was just the convenient excuse to invade country after country, take out non-compliant leaders, and install what turned out to be, in many cases, tyrants that were far worse than the people we took out of power, but tyrants that were friendly to Washington, Wall Street's policies. And then, of course, we would set bases up there, turn them into outposts of the empire. We would set up, you know, a lot of American businesses would go down there and steal the people's resources, employ them, you know, at cheap wages. And now here it is, the same thing is going on, this time under the guise of fighting terrorism. It's the same game, folks, just got a different name, but it's the same game plan. It's nothing but imperialism right in your face, but again, it's got a new mask. But it is, in fact, imperialism. But I want to stress, the imperialism that we're seeing here is not American imperialism. There are many opponents of the Bush administration who are calling it that, but it is not American imperialism. They are dismantling this country as well as every other country on the map. They're taking away our rights, our liberties. They're imposing or seeking to impose martial law here as well as everywhere else on the planet. They're just utilizing our military, our finances, raping and pillaging the public treasury to finance their operations. But when everything's in place, we're going to be in just as an uncomfortable position as any other nation in the world. So we're not looking at American imperialism, American domination. This is all a smokescreen. It is this system of global domination I'm talking about, where the elites behind the scenes are going to be the ones controlling everything. They're going to be the ones benefiting. All power and wealth will be concentrated in their hands, and the rest of the world's population will be reduced to absolute desperate poverty. This is what they want. And there's mounds of documentation going back pretty much to the beginning of this country's history to prove that. As a matter of fact, before I read some more quotes, I'd like to basically give a brief history lesson on this New World Order agenda so that you can see how we got in this mess. The way that they've pulled this off is by creating central banks around the world. Most countries today have central banks, and again, if you climb the ladder and see who's pulling the strings up the top, you'll find it's these same family names. The Rothschilds were the first ones to establish a central bank in England, the Bank of England. It became so successful, they were able to gain control of the British government through that banking system that they realized, hey, let's do this in other countries. Let's see if we can get away with this in other countries. And if you look at the history of central banking in Europe, you'll see that all during the 19th century, one country after another, bang, 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 were introducing central banks. And all the while that was going on, and essentially what that amounted to is takeovers, overthrows of these various countries. Once the central bank was in place, the international financiers had control of that country. In order to take over a country, you don't have to launch a missile, drop a bomb, send in tanks and troops. All you have to do is hijack its economy through a central bank, and that's what this has been all about. All during the 19th century, while they were establishing central banks in Europe, they were trying desperately to do the same thing here. It didn't quite work out so well for them, though. Very early, they did have what was the precursor of a central bank. It was called the First Bank of the United States. It was established in 1791. You had people like Thomas Jefferson vehemently speaking out against it. He recognized it for what it was. He saw it as an American equivalent of what was being set up, established, in England and other countries around Europe. He said, if we allow such a banking system to continue, we wind us up in perpetual debt through usurious interest rates. It'll be a debt from which we will never escape. It'll give control over this country to this power, this banking monopoly power, and we will see a loss, a complete loss of our rights and liberties. Well, that charter for that bank ran out in 1811. The bankers tried vehemently to open up a charter for it again, you know, to get it reestablished. Didn't quite work out so well, so interestingly, a year later, we had the War of 1812. Well, when you realize that the bankers are the ones pulling the strings behind the curtain, it's very easy to see what was going on there. They orchestrated this war, and in fact, as I go along, you'll see that they orchestrated a whole lot of other wars, too, not only for big profits, because they were the ones financing each country, giving them the loans through the central bank to fund these wars, but in wake of the wars, they were able to manipulate the world political scene to bend it toward their interests because of the state of desperation that these wars created in the public mind. So they orchestrated the 1812 war with England and with the United States and Britain. And the main purpose of that was to sink the United States into insurmountable debt so that they could come along and say, oh, look at the debt problem you have. Hey, trust us. Take a loan from us and we'll get you out of this mess, which is essentially what happened. That's why the charter did get renewed in 1816. The U.S. was faltering. It was heavily burdened from its 1812 war debt. But the charter for that new bank, the Second Bank of the United States, as it was called, it didn't quite work out so well. They weren't taking loans, to fund the debt. They were able to pay it off. In fact, the bankers got furious, so they orchestrated a panic. The famous Panic of 1819, you can Google that and read up on that. These same bankers were behind that. They were trying to bring us to more desperation, to tip the economy off the edge so that we would, be forced to take more loans and look to them more and be more dependent on them. Hey, look, you guys, you're doing a terrible job in Washington on running this economy. Just trust us. Let us be a full-fledged central bank. You won't have any more worries. We'll take care of all your finances. When in reality, our economic woes would be exponentially multiplied. In fact, that's what happened. When they finally succeeded in establishing our current central bank, we continued to, our economy continued to falter more and more and more as the years have marched on since that bank was created. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up here again. We're at 1919. They created the 1819 panic. They were trying to get more and more control over the economy. It wasn't working out too well for them, though, especially when Andrew Jackson came onto the scene. Andrew Jackson, just like Jefferson before him, was adamantly opposed to the idea of a central bank in this country. He was adamantly opposed to the Second Bank of the United States. He didn't want this central banking system. He knew where this was going to lead us if we allowed it to get more power and more control of our economy. He started speaking out against it. He said, "You are a den of thieves, and I vow to uproot you." He actually had an attempt on his life in 1835, and he credited that act to the bankers. He Biddle, of course, at that time was the head of the bank, and he knew that the people who ran that bank were behind it because of his outspokenness against it. So we see, again, an attempt on his life. It didn't succeed. Fortunately, he survived, and the following year, 1836, he shut down the Second Bank of the United States, totally shut it down. So what happened was they waited about 30 years or so, and then they were at it again under Lincoln. They were pushing for a central bank in the wake of the Civil War. They were trying to get Lincoln to take loans to help fund the Civil War. Lincoln refused. He didn't trust the bankers either. He knew what they were up to. Adamantly refused. He said, "I will not allow you to sink my country into perpetual debt. I know the game you're playing, and it's not going to work." Well, we all know what happened to Lincoln, don't we? Very interesting pattern starts emerging here. 20 years after Lincoln, they were again pushing for a central bank. At that time, it was President Garfield who was in office. Likewise, just like Lincoln and Jefferson and Andrew Jackson before him, Garfield also resisted this attempt to establish a central bank. We all know what happened. 20 years later, they're at it again, pushing for a central bank. This time it was McKinley in office. Remember what happened to McKinley? I hope you're seeing the pattern here. McKinley refused to allow a central bank. As a matter of fact, he was also adamantly opposed to the removal of tariffs. That's something else that these international financiers have been big on, been very big on, to get rid of the tariff system so that they have no barriers in their way for trade that can maximize their profits, and then flip the bill to the general public to make up for that loss of revenue, which is exactly what the income tax has done in this country. We have almost no more tariffs left, and yet our income tax has gone through the roof. This is what the bankers want and the international financiers want. They want to get rid of taxes for themselves, tariffs and taxes for them and their businesses, and put the burden on the public instead. Anyway, speaking of assassinating presidents that stand in their way, I'd like to mention two other ones. There was, there was Kennedy, JFK, and there was Harding, John Harding. A lot of people don't recognize Harding as having been assassinated, but he died under very mysterious circumstances. It was called an embolism, the equivalent of a martyr. That was a term for an aneurysm back then. But the man never was autopsied. They just declared, without an autopsy, you couldn't even do that today without an autopsy, and yet back then, that's what they said it was, and he was quickly funeraled and buried, and no autopsy. I would venture to say he was assassinated too, probably food poisoning, and he was also opposed to the central bank. By that time, it was already established. Our modern central bank is the Federal Reserve. And he was adamantly opposed to it. He was also opposed to removal of tariffs. He wanted to keep tariffs. And so it's quite obvious what happened there. You come to Kennedy. We find the same thing with Kennedy. There's been a lot of theories proposed as to why they killed him. They killed him for a lot of reasons. Kennedy wasn't going along with the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower had warned us about in his farewell address. He had taken measures to dismantle the CIA, as he promised he was going to do. He wanted to end the Cold War. He wanted to pull us out of involvement in Vietnam. But another thing he did, probably more significant than all the others together, is he took measures to override the power of the Federal Reserve. That was probably his biggest, quote, mistake, because it's through the Federal Reserve that the international financiers have been able to control our economy. What he did was, through Executive Order 11110, he called for the printing of United States greenbacks, which were non-interest-bearing paper dollars. And that was a major threat to the Federal Reserve, because their whole monetary system operates under debt. That's where they make their money. Many don't realize this, but the Federal Reserve, our current central bank that they finally succeeded in establishing in 1913 under Woodrow Wilson, their little puppet, they realized the only way they were going to get a central bank in this country is to get a puppet to groom him early on, so that by the time he got into the White House, he would have no problem approving of their central bank, because all their previous attempts had failed, and that's how they did it. It worked. Woodrow Wilson was groomed early on. He had a private advisor who went by the name of Colonel Edward Mandel House. He was no colonel. What he was a go-between from Wall Street to the White House. He was a friend of Jacob Schiff, as well as J.P. Morgan. And he would go back and forth from Wall Street to the White House and give orders from the international financiers. Wilson once called him his alter ego, that I, you know, as he thinks that I think, as he acts, I act. Yeah, he was the puppet string puller. As a matter of fact, Edward Mandel House wrote a book in 1912 called Philip Drew, Administrator. Under the guise of a novel, a fantasy novel, he was actually writing about what he knew was going to happen in coming years, because the whole plan was drawn up in advance. He said his goal in his fictitious character, his go-between from the White House to Wall Street, was to establish socialism as dreamed of by Karl Marx, and that two of the main pillars they were planning to establish was a central bank and a graduating income tax. That's very interesting, because the very next year, under Woodrow Wilson, at the behest of Colonel House, and he wasn't a colonel, by the way, year, 1913, the 16th Amendment was introduced into the Constitution, which they claimed gave legal precedent to tax American citizens' wages through the income tax. It did no such thing. In fact, the Supreme Court has declared that in numerous cases, that the 16th Amendment, in fact, does not give new powers of taxation, nor could it, because the Constitution does not allow for direct taxation of U.S. citizens. This is a scam that they pulled on us, folks. So that when the central bank came along months later in the same year, in December of 1913, they now set up the legal precedent, seemingly legal precedent, to tax you. So when the government would take loans from the central bank, they could turn around and flip you the bill through the fraudulent income tax and have you pay exorbitant interest rates while they lock all the way to the bank and use your monies to pay for their global conquest enterprises. This is what's been going on in this country ever since the establishment of the Federal Reserve. The government, especially after World War II, has been involved in over 60 military conflicts. Not one of them, by the way, was legal. The last time we fought a legal war was World War II. That's the last time Congress declared war. The Constitution demands that war can only be waged by this country when Congress declares war. Only then can the President send troops out, deploy troops to fight in war. That has not happened since World War II, yet we have deployed troops over 60 times since World War II. Every one of those incursions, those military operations, has been totally illegal. And guess what? The bulk of our federal debt today comes from the Pentagon and its little military enterprises, its little wars of conquest and global domination. And is the Pentagon doing it on behalf of America? No, it's doing it on behalf of the international financiers. We now are being stiffed every bit as much as every other country in the world that we've been invading, driving them into poverty, folks. This is an outright war that's being waged on us and indeed the citizens of the entire planet. Once you step back and get the panoramic view of what's been going on, history takes on a whole new meaning, especially when you read their own documents, which I'm going to be quoting some very interesting citations here in a few minutes to show that I'm in good company in this thinking. There have been a lot of prominent politicians, a lot of congressmen over the decades that have recognized what's going on and have gone on record, in the congressional record, speaking before the House and the Senate about this deadly threat that we have in this country, working right here on our soil, right in our midst, that most people are oblivious to, because you won't read about them in the textbooks, you won't hear about them on the evening news, because they own the publishing houses, they own the media. Naturally, they're never going to tell you what's going on. I mentioned, I think last week, about how NBC, for example, is owned by GE. GE is a major Pentagon contracting company. So naturally, GE is not going to allow NBC to tell you that we fight wars for fictitious reasons, that the last 60-plus military conflicts that we've been involved in since World War II have been illegal, that it's had nothing to do with containing communism or fighting terrorism. It's all about imperialism, their imperialism, an imperialism that drives everyone into poverty, that murders, that slays, that slaughters everything and everyone in its path until it gets what it wants. Total global domination. I don't call this show Truth Hurts Radio for nothing, folks. The truth does hurt. The truth sucks, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't take pleasure in talking about this. I wish I was wrong. I wish somebody could prove me wrong. I've been talking about this for years, though, and nobody can do it. The mounds of documentation that I have amassed up to prove this is frankly overwhelming and impossible to refute. And again, those who want to read up more on this, you can either go to paranormalradionetwork.com and click on my Truth Hurts Radio banner, or just go right to 911blog.org and look down on the right. You'll see my file, New World Disorder. And when you click on that, a page will open up. It takes you to the introduction. When you get to the end of that, you'll see the next section you can click on. It'll take some time. It's a couple hundred pages plus of text. But I guarantee you it'll be some of the most informative 200 pages you've ever read in your life. It'll strip away the facade that we've been sold in our media and by our academia. And you'll see for the first time, what really is going on behind the scenes, what lies behind so many strange happenings in the political world, not only in this country, but around the planet. And you'll be able to finally make sense of history. Coming back to that brief history lesson I was giving, I mentioned how under several presidents, and each one that refused them, bang, 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 they kept popping them off. Finally, in 1913, they get their central bank, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a private banking monopoly. It is not run by the federal government any more than Federal Express. Just because they use that term does not make it federal. And by the way, the term reserve is phony, too. There are no reserves. Our monetary system has absolutely no backing. The only reason why you can still use those worthless pieces of green paper in your pocket for commerce is because everybody believes they have value. No one has caught on to the scam yet. What they've been doing is sinking us ever further into debt. We've got such an outrageous debt right now that we're not even able to pay a fraction of the interest. This is all done by design to perpetually enslave you. The truth is, our national debt is a fraud. We don't even owe any of this money because the money that was borrowed isn't even money in the first place. It is absolutely illegal. The Constitution only recognizes gold and silver coin as legal tender. The paper money you have is not backed by anything. It is total worthless pieces of paper. As a matter of fact, not only does it not have any value in of itself, it actually has negative value. Those green pieces of paper in your pocket, if you even have any more left in your pocket, are debt receipts. If you have a $10 bill in your pocket, it means you owe $10 back to the Federal Reserve plus the exorbitant interest that it comes attached with. This is a scam, folks. They're laughing all the way to the bank, literally, that they have sucked us into this scam. They reap tremendous profits, and every time we falter, every time our economy slips, they gain. Let me give you an example of how this works. There's many ways that they play this out, but one of the ways they do it, through the central bank, they have attained the power to set the interest rates. Now, that's not legal either. The Constitution only grants Congress the power to set the interest rate of our currency and to regulate the value thereof. But now, through the central banking system that we have, the Federal Reserve, this power has been given over to a private banking monopoly cartel. And so what they do is they'll raise the interest rates. And if you look at how the Federal Reserve has operated, if you look at the flow charts, for example, ever since 1913, you'll see that the economy has been up, down, up, down, up, down, recession after recession after recession, all by design. What they'll do is they'll raise the interest rates slightly. They'll create a panic. Then they'll turn around and they'll buy up millions, even billions of dollars of stocks at bargain basement prices because of the faltering economy that they created by raising the interest rates. They'll wait maybe 6-12 months or whatever so that people don't get too suspicious. Then they'll lower the interest rate, the economy will pick up, and then they'll sell those stocks at a tremendous profit. They'll make huge amounts of money. All the while they're doing this, keep in mind, they're giving loans to the federal government, charging exorbitant interest rates. Instead of the government printing the money that it needs for the goods and services that it provides, or is supposed to provide, it goes to the central bank. Understand, when we want a gold standard, the government could not spend more than it had in reserve. It operated within a budget like the rest of us have to do. But now with the central bank, it doesn't have to worry about having enough gold reserves. In fact, there are no gold reserves. It doesn't have to worry about any reserves. It just prints money at will out of thin air. It is literally legalized counterfeit. So they print at will whatever they want. When they, let's say the government needs $10 billion. It goes to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve says, okay, we only have $1 billion in our vault, and those dollars are worthless anyway. There's no backing there because there's no gold. But nevertheless, the way the law works, it's called fractional reserve banking. Federal Reserve only needs to have one-tenth of the amount in its vault when it gives a loan. So if the government wants a $10 billion loan, it only needs to have $1 billion in the vault, and then it says, okay, here's your $10 billion. Where did the other $9 billion come from? It was created out of thin air by entries on a keyboard. Then they call the Treasury. They tell them to print that $10 billion. That money is pumped into circulation with interest that we must pay back. We're paying back that $9 billion that never existed until they told the printing press to print it, the Treasury. Plus, we're paying interest on it. Do you see what a rotten, fraudulent, stenching scam this is? This is why we have deficit spending. They don't care, because we're the ones that flip the bill. They spare no expense at our expense. This is why we have so many outrageous bureaucracies in Washington that not only aren't needed, but they're downright detrimental to this country's health. But they can afford to do it because you front the bill. When we were operating on a gold standard, they couldn't afford all these bureaucracies. But now they can. And what do these bureaucracies do? It gives them more power to control you. You are paying for your own enslavement. How does that grab you? So look what we have here now. They establish the Federal Reserve, our central banking system, and the income tax in the same year, 1913. The very next year, as a matter of fact, the very next month, this was done in December 1913, the very next month, January 1914, World War I breaks out. World War I, folks, was orchestrated by these same international financiers. They owned the world's central banks. Very easy for them to do this. They encouraged the nations of the world, you know, over in Europe, to establish alliances, the Triple Entente, the Triple Alliance. They said, oh, if you do this, there was a lot of turmoil in Europe at the time, so they encouraged them to form these alliances. If you do this, it'll prevent war. It'll make sure that, peace continues to reign. No. The alliances made sure that war would break out, because all you had to do is have one nation tick off another nation, and inevitably, when there was a strike, in that case, it was, the assassination of Francis Ferdinand. And with that, once the thing was set off in motion, then all the other allied powers on both sides of the conflict would be drawn in. The alliances did not prevent war. They were designed to create war. And that's what they wanted. They wanted a global conflict. As a matter of fact, their biggest concern, it wasn't about involving Europe in the wars. That was easy. Europe had been used to fighting all during the 19th century. That was no problem. It was getting the U.S. involved. In fact, there was a congressional committee formed in 1953 called the Rees Committee, headed up by Congressman Dodd. And the conclusion of that committee, amongst other things, was that one of the things they found, I should say, is that in 1909, there was a meeting held at the Carnegie Institute for International Peace. What a misnomer that is, like they're interested in peace. Anyway, they got a hold of the minutes from that meeting, and to their astonishment, they discovered that these international financiers were planning a global conflict, and that their biggest concern was how to involve the United States in it, because up until that time, the U.S. had been upholding the Monroe Doctrine, the idea of being isolated, just like what Washington had said in his farewell address, that we should maintain trade relations but not be involved politically, because when you do that, then you're going to get dragged into wars and it's going to bring the nation down. We had held to that up until that point. And so they were puzzled, they were troubled. How can we get the U.S. to get into this coming world conflict? That was their biggest concern. Because now, with the establishment of the central bank that they were planning in coming years and the income tax, they had the criteria there for paying for this war and enslaving us through the central bank, but how could they convince the public to get us into that war? Well, this is kind of a long, dragged-out story. I don't know if I want to go into all the details of it, but again, if you go to 911blog.org and read my New World Disorder file, I go into it there in quite a bit of detail, providing documentation as well. But interestingly enough, they did involve us in that war through a major scam, just like with World War II, just like with Vietnam, and many other wars since. In fact, the current war on terror, ladies and gentlemen, as we talked about last week, we got involved in this war on terror through a scam as well, 9/11. It's called a false flag operation. You just stage a phony crisis to enrage the public, to get them angry, then you point them in the direction where you want that anger to be focused so you can sucker them to fight your imperialistic wars. Before we got involved in World War I, in order to get us involved, they had to anger us at the Germans. They had to get us angry with Germany. So they began sending lend-lease over to France and England while claiming to be neutral. In fact, Wilson promised, "I will not let your sons and daughters fight in any foreign wars." 2 decades later, FDR was saying the same thing. In fact, he got got reelected in 1940 by touting that same lie. I will not send your sons and daughters to fight in foreign wars, having every intention to do that all the while. So here we were, claiming to be neutral in World War I, and yet the whole time we're sending munitions over to England and France on merchant and passenger vessels. They were actually stocking the hulls of these ships with passengers on them, with munitions bound for England and France. Of course, the Germans knew this. They warned the people before they got on the Lusitania. They sent mercenaries to the dock in New York telling them to board this ship. Your government is putting you in danger. This ship is loaded with weaponry. They didn't listen because the U.S. government sent their bugs there telling them this is war propaganda. Don't listen to these people. And so, you know, 1,100 plus people died when the Lusitania was sunk with a German torpedo. And it didn't work right away. The U.S. didn't go from being isolationist to interventionist overnight. But because of a major propaganda campaign was launched against Germany, headed up by Walter Lippmann, by the way, as the years went on, the next two years rolled on, public sentiments had changed. People got angry with Germany. And by the time the Zimmermann Telegraph scandal blew open, that was the final straw. Now the United States was coerced, tricked into getting involved in this war. Now the loans were given out, generous loans. Oh, we'll give you all the money you need, how much you want. The bankers were loving it. Not only were they making a tremendous killing financially, but they knew that in the wake of this war, they would have the United States and all of Europe so desperate that they might be willing to accept our catalyst for world government. After World War I, they introduced the League of Nations. That was to be the headquarters of the world government. But, of course, it failed. The U.S. wouldn't join, and they anticipated that this might happen. So they set the stage for a second global conflict, if deemed necessary, by drafting up the Versailles Treaty to burden Germany with heavy reparation payments for World War I, to drive them into such a state of desperation by raping their economy that by the time Hitler came to power, this is exactly what they intended. Sure enough, the League of Nations failed, so they set it up to cripple Germany's economy as the 20s roared on, and Germany was defaulting and couldn't make these outrageous payments. They came along with things like the Dawes Plan and the Young Plan, supposedly to help them with making the payments. All it did is sink them into more debt, which, of course, was the intent. But the time Hitler stepped into power, the German mark actually had sunk to 1/20 billionth that of the English pound. At the end of World War I, it was equal in trade value with the English pound. Now here it was, 1/20 billionth. The people were so desperate that they didn't even care what a madman Hitler was. As a matter of fact, they wanted a madman who had renounced the Versailles Treaty, which he did, who had helped to save their economy, which he did, and the bankers were all too happy to give him that money to help them get out of that mess. They set it up so that they could get this tyrant in office that would set off their next global conflict, so that thereafter they could introduce their next catalyst for world government, the United Nations. This time they set its headquarters up on the U.S.'s front doorstep. They figured, this time they won't be suspicious. This time they'll accept it. And it worked. The U.S. accepted the U.N. They joined it. They put its headquarters right here. And that's been the means through which they have hoped to establish world government. Well, guess what? It's not quite working out so well, for good reason. Many people are weary. They don't trust the UN. The UN has proven itself to not be an instrument of peace. It is, in fact, an instrument of war. So you know what the next plan is, folks? They're planning to set up another global conflict. And the current drive to get us involved in Iran would serve them quite well to do that. It would set off another global conflict. Russia has already said they would get in. China has said this. They're sick of the U.S. pushing its weight around. This would set off the third global conflict, after which time they intend to set up another system similar to the U.N., similar to the League of Nations, that will be the catalyst for their desired world government. In a nutshell, that's history over the past 200 years, real history. This is what's gone on behind the scenes. This is what is setting us up for this total system of world domination. These people, folks, they own the media. They own our major educational establishments. They control everything at the top. It doesn't mean everybody in the media is corrupt. Everybody university and academia is corrupt. No, they don't need to be. As long as they're dependent, though, on the central office for the paycheck, this is how they're kept quiet. You keep your mouth shut, you'll get paid. I mentioned last week they did this, for example, with Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University. He's a physics professor there, or was. He started speaking out about 9/11. Brigham Young University was tolerant for a time, but all of a sudden, just back in September, they informed him that they were putting him on paid leave, basically telling him, shut your mouth or you're not going to be able to come back to work. So he opted for early retirement. Obviously, they got a phone call from Washington telling them you're going to get cut off from federal grant money if you don't shut this guy up. This is how it works, folks. This is exactly how it works, how it's been working for a long time. So again, it doesn't mean that the professors themselves are necessarily corrupt and that they favor this world system of government, but the paycheck is a powerful motivating factor for keeping professors quiet, as well as people in the media. It's probably true that a great many of our journalists don't even know what's going on, but that doesn't matter as long as they play the game. If they should find out, they realize very quick they must play the game or they get out of a job. I think I mentioned last week a book called Into the Buzzsaw came out in 2002. It's written by about a dozen or so former big-name reporters from, you know, the major networks who had left their jobs out of disgust because they were not allowed to expose corruption in the federal government or in, you know, the Fortune 500 companies. They could expose local government corruption, local small business corruption, but anytime they went through the big time, federal government or Fortune 500 companies, the axe came down upon them with a vengeance, and they went through what they called the buzzsaw. In fact, the highly recommend that you read that book if you want to understand how our media works. Very, very interesting book. Again, it's called Into the Buzzsaw. Borgeson, who was the editor of that book, contributed a chapter in which she describes the horrors that you go through when you go through the buzzsaw. Your car is broken into, your files get stolen, you get phone calls in the middle of the night threatening you, unmarked cars will follow you, people wearing sunglasses so you can't tell who they are, and they'll park right outside wherever you go and just sit there and watch you until you leave. And you know, she says people who have not experienced this, if you try to explain it to them, they'll call you crazy, paranoid, they'll think you're some conspiracy nut, but until you've gone through it, she says you can't understand the horror of it, but this is real. And they all of the authors that contributed to this book describe this same thing. So again, you want to know how controlled your media is, what a scam it is, how much they lie to you, that is a book to get. I see we have a hand up here in our virtual auditorium. I don't know if I'll have time to answer the question, but if you want to come up and state, hopefully briefly, we only got about 2 minutes before we go to break here, but if you want to come up and state either your question or comment briefly, and then probably we'll have to wait till the other side of the break to answer it, but we'll turn over this at this time in our Pal Talk virtual auditorium to Kuo San Seru. Difficult name to pronounce there, but yeah, if you want to go ahead and grab the mic and...
Sooner or later it's over. I just
Questions about everything? Would you like to escape from your proverbial box? Just leap out and explore our world in ways you've never imagined? You can have that opportunity. As we grow and expand, new features will be added, allowing you to experience radio programming at a fresh new level. I invite you to join me, November Hansen, host of Voice of the People. Together, we can expand our horizons and peer into multifaceted possibilities. This program will broadcast live Saturday evenings on the Paranormal Radio Network.
This land is yours.
Join host Basima Farhat on The People Speak as she interviews guests from the realm of politics, activism, spirituality, science, and entertainment. That's Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on The People Speak, an audience interactive program where your voice counts.
This land was made for you.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, this is James Arthur Janczyk, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth, contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality. All without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. But lack of contradiction is the final judge here. On Feet to the Fire. Sunday evenings. How do you listen? www.feettofire.com for more information.
The Unabridged Universe. Join us from 7 to 9 Central Standard Time. Saturdays as host Jason Wilson and I, Victoria Rose, bring you the perspectives of guests on every topic, from extraterrestrials on the edge of the galaxy to issues that affect you right here at home. It's a big universe out there, and we're likely to cover anything. Do you have any topics that you'd like to have discussed? Know any researchers or free thinkers out there you'd like to have on the show? Log on to www.unabridgeduniverse.com and let us know, only on the Paranormal Radio Network.
You're listening to Truth Hurts Radio with your host, Charles Giuliani. Can you handle the pain?
Hey, welcome back. Kind of had a little bit of a problem there before the break. Not unusual here on the Pal Talk virtual auditorium. In fact, any room in Pal Talk, you get on occasion what we call room raiders. People who just want to come to the mic and try to sabotage your room. So I still want to encourage people, if they do have questions or comments, to raise their hand here in the virtual auditorium and we can take some questions. And we do have a toll-free number that you can call in on. It's 877-786-0562. Once again, toll-free 877-786-0562. So again, if you have any questions listening out in on the radio, you can call in on that number here in the Pal Talk Virtual Auditorium. Just raise your hand. But we're going to be a little bit cautious about the questions and comments that we'll be taking to avoid this room raider problem. Anyway, coming back to what we were discussing, as you can see, once you have this perspective of what's been going on behind the scenes, the big money masters manipulating everything, pulling the strings, setting up the central bank, setting up the income tax, using it to parasite off of the public to get them to pay for ultimately what is their own enslavement, setting up this world government, you know, this globalization scheme. This is all part of it, you know, the World Trade Organization getting laws passed that circumnavigate their way around national laws, creating international laws that operate in the interests of the corporations, regardless of other nations or the peoples of the world. That's of no consequence to them. They want total deregulation for themselves to pollute the environment at will, if it suits their interest to do so, regardless of the costs to the general health of the public. You've got to understand, you're dealing here with people that have absolutely no semblance of scruples, no human decency, no sense of morality, nothing. Their sole objective is power and profit, and that's it. And it doesn't matter what they have to ruin, wreck, and destroy in their path to do that. They will do it. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why our presidents for decades on end now have all been hand-picked before they get on the ballot. Why we have a system that we have where you can't even run for president unless you have umpteen million dollars backing you to fund your campaign. And where does that money come from? It comes from these scoundrels that buy them off, that groom them from very early on. Some of you have probably heard about things like Skull and Bones, for example. These secret societies, that one is headquartered at Yale University. Pretty much all the major Ivy League schools have them. Skull and Bones is most notable. But, you know, this is one of the ways that they recruit people to do their biddings. They create their little puppets, their little minions. They get them to join these private clubs, these secret societies. And as the years go on, they'll have them engage in activities designed to strip them of their conscience so that by the time they graduate and are ready to be put in the positions that they feel they're best be suited to advance their interests in, they'll be able to do so without any conscience. Because you swear a blood oath when you join these groups that you're going to advance their cause, regardless of any oath you might swear to any nation, to their constitution. It's all just rhetoric. But your real loyalties lie with the order and its interests of advancing world government. That's what this is, where this is all leading. So, but once you get this perspective, and you see how this works and has been working for a long time, understanding things like 9/11 to be an inside job is really just common sense. And this is why myself and so many others like me recognized immediately when we heard on the radio or saw on the TV what was happening in New York that morning. We knew right away that it was an inside job. It was just a matter of gathering the evidence up, which of course has been forthcoming ever since 9/11. There's been mounds and mounds and mounds of evidence that has emerged to prove that very point. And it turns out that they were actually planning this attack in advance and said that they wanted this. I mentioned last week Project Little American Century, so they wanted a new Pearl Harbor type event. I mentioned Zbigniew Brzezinski's 1997 book, The Grand Chessboard, in which he said we need to have a massive, widely perceived, direct external threat. This is how they work. They plan this stuff in advance. They even tell you what they're going to do. And then when they do it, you see that the official story they sell is full of garbage, and you recognize, yeah, this is yet another one of their scams. But their tactic is to laugh at you and call you a conspiracy nut when you attempt to expose their scams as a means of mind control to prevent people from finding out what's going on. Like I mentioned with Bill O'Reilly earlier, he's famous for that. Shut up, you're an American, you're unpatriotic. You know, this is their way of intimidating you so that you don't question them, so that you will accept whatever they tell you. But folks, the hour is late. We can't be manipulated anymore by these people. We have to recognize that for the most part, the people in the media, in academia, in government are a bunch of puppets. They're sellout, traitorous, treasonous pieces of trash. And we've got to start learning to think for ourselves and stop letting these mind warpers do our thinking for us, because they have a very twisted, very evil agenda. And it's been going on for way too long now. It's high time people wake up out of their slumber. I mean, just look what came out the other day, this KSM confession, so-called. This Khalid Sheikh Mohammed confession. What a miserable fraud. There's a good example of how stuff comes out in the media that we're supposed to buy. Fortunately, this thing was such a scam that virtually nobody is buying it. So this is great. The tide is starting to turn. As a matter of fact, CNN ran a poll on Friday asking people if they believe this confession to be legitimate, and 76% of the responders said no. So that's encouraging. Only 24% said that they believe this confession, which still astonishes me that even that many could believe it, because it's a total scam if you look at it. First of all, where do you start? KSM was reported by Asia Times, for example, and several other papers around the world, as having died in a bombing raid shortly after 9/11 in 2001. He was reported dead. Yet we had all these instances since, you know, that, you know, he got arrested, and stories would come out about him every so often. And thus, every time a story came out about him, including this past confession that came out this past week, supposedly from Guantanamo, the picture, again, that they release of him is the same one that has been released all these past, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. It's the same guy wearing the grubby white T-shirt with that nasty hairdo, that bedhead look. You would think this latest picture, you know, that he'd at least have an orange jumpsuit on since he's supposed to be at Guantanamo. It's doubtful that he's even there, that he's even alive. But let's humor them and pretend he is alive. He is at Guantanamo. How can you trust this confession when, A, he's been tortured, B, nobody cameras in there. C, all we know that he said comes from a transcript, a partial transcript, I might add, that was released by the Pentagon. Oh, no, there's a trustworthy bunch of scoundrels for you. The Pentagon. Yeah, we can trust the Pentagon, right? Anyway, you know, it turns out that, it's only a partial transcript. So it's not even the whole transcript. But it also turns out that the guy has confessed, amongst other things, to being behind the betrayal of Jesus. This is unbelievable. How could anybody think there's any credibility whatsoever to this so-called confession? I mean, he's literally confessed to just about everything under the sun. He claims he was involved somehow in the Kennedy assassination. I still haven't figured that one out, how that's supposed to be. How old is this guy? I mean, is that even... What? He claims he was behind the betrayal of Jesus because he was, there was a former incarnation in another life. Oh, jeez. This is just unbelievable. This is the Twilight Zone, folks. We're living in the Twilight Zone. They're pawning off on the most ridiculous, heinous, screwball lies as truth, and, you know, you're paranoid and crazy if you question it. How can you not question it? It's ridiculous. It's like some Hollywood B-rated film, some low-budget film where they hired some guy off the street to write the script. It's incredible. My 8-year-old daughter could write a better script than this. I mean, this is just ridiculous. This kind of garbage has got to stop. Anyway, once again, we're talking about the New World Order or the New World Disorder tonight. And those who want the documentation of what I'm sharing can go to 911blog.org. Scroll down, you'll see on the right, Piercing the Fog of 9/11, which is my 9/11 research. And then for the topic tonight, you'll see New World Disorder. You can also reach that website by going to paranormalradionetwork.com, clicking on my True Threats banner, and it'll take you right to the site. Anyone wanting a printed copy of the New World Disorder can write me at 39 Fruit Street in Milford, Massachusetts, 01757. And if you send me, I prefer a money order, $40 money order, and that'll include the postage. And I'll send that right off to you. Otherwise, you can just go again to the website, read it for yourself, and you'll see it's fully documented. Let me give you a sampling of some of the things that you'll find in there to show that we are, in fact, dealing with this massive conspiracy that's been going on behind the scenes for decades on end. One person who has spoken out about this is going back to December 15, 1987, was Senator Jesse Helms, who stated before Congress, and this went in the congressional record back on that day, December 15th, 1987. He said, "The campaign against the American people is orchestrated by a vast array of interests. A careful examination of what is happening behind the scenes reveals that all of these interests are working in concert to create a new world order." There you go. There's your new world order. As you might recall, Daddy Bush talked extensively during his term there about a new world order on many occasions. In fact, he was asked once, "Where did you get this term, new world order? We hear you use it a lot in your speeches," and he lied. And he said, me and John Major, the British Prime Minister at the time, me and John Major coined the phrase during a fishing trip. Well, that's just plain hogwash. The term New World Order goes way back. As you see here, it goes back at least to 1987. But lo and behold, it goes back way before that. As a matter of fact, back in 1939, H.G. Wells, many of you will remember him from his novels, The Time Machine and War of the Worlds, but he actually wrote much more extensively on politics. He wrote a book in 1939 called The New World Order, and he laid out this plan of how, you know, in the coming decades, we would see a world government being formed. He called it by name, New World Order. And he actually said that many would protest this, many would hate this and would protest it, and he said many would die protesting it. Many will hate the New World Order and will die protesting it, is how he worded it. So here was a guy who actually favored this. He knew it was going to be a tyrannical, totalitarian system. He favored that. He wanted that. He said that would be a good thing. And so this has been the claim of all globalists down through the decades. want this system of total control. They don't care that it's going to result in mass murder of those protested. They want that. They actually want to reduce the world's population significantly so it's more easily controlled. But anyway, here was Bush Sr. lying, saying that he made up the term with John Major back in 1991, when in fact we see it popping up all over the place decade after decade. Incidentally, you can look in the back of your $1 bill and you'll find the term New World Order there in Latin. If you look around the pyramid, you'll see Novus Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. Novus is where we get the word Nova, which is a new star. Novus means new, Ordo, of course, order, and then Seclorum, secular world. New World Order, right on the back of your dollar bill. It's been there since 1935, recommended by our good sellout president, FDR, who in fact was the worst president in American history until this scoundrel came along. Even Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, has admitted that in the past day or two. I think it was yesterday he made the statement that this is the worst president in American history, and I couldn't agree with him more. But it depends on your perspective. If you are, in fact, a sellout, conscienceless, parasitic international financier like David Rockefeller, he's the best president in American history because he has served the agenda of these scoundrels better than all other presidents combined. Their agenda has marched forward more aggressively, more boldly than under any president before. This is like Christmas morning for them, folks. They're getting all their little presents unwrapped, stuff that they have been wanting for a long time. We're now seeing the emergence of a Gestapo police state here. Bush passed, like I mentioned last week, the military, the John Warner Military Reform Act of 2007, which gives him the power to declare martial law at any time he desires during the crisis, probably getting ready to stage another fake 9/11 as we talk, and use that as the catalyst for introducing martial law. Tommy Franz has talked about this. He said, in the case of the next terrorist attack, we're going to have some form of military government set up here. It's going to be the end of the Constitution. Actually, we're going to be talking about this next week. Our announcer, who goes by the name of Natasha here on Pell Talk, will be joining me as a guest next week. She's done quite a bit of research on this herself. So we'll be discussing how we are heading toward martial law in this country, toward a total dictatorship. All the pieces have been put into place for this, including Homeland Security, which marries dozens of federal agencies together, all under the control of one person, Emperor Gluteus Maximus, otherwise known as George W. Bush. Folks, this is scary stuff. And again, it's not pleasant to talk about it, but the truth does hurt, as the radio show title implies. This is stuff we must wake up to. We cannot afford to continue to remain in an apathetic state and just sitting back and allowing this stuff to happen. We've got to wake up to it, realize what's happening, and start letting Congress know that we're on to this game and we're not going to stand for it. We do have a few people in Congress who are with us, like Ron Paul, for example, who know what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's been standing up, speaking out against it. He is, in fact, running for president, hoping to turn this thing around. If you want to lend your support to somebody, there's a man right there. He does believe in the Constitution. He does recognize this war on terror as a fraud. He knows we have no business in Iraq. He knows our borders need to be sealed up. He knows we need to be building up our infrastructure and providing jobs for people instead of sending them overseas. He knows what a scam the Federal Reserve is and the income tax. That's a man, if you're going to support, you need to support. Unfortunately, as you might guess, he's getting virtually none of the attention that the other runner-up candidates are getting, who are a bunch of sellouts who have already sold their soul to this one stenching system. Under Hillary, you're going to get the same. Under Obama, you're going to get the same. Under Giuliani, you're going to get the same. They're all a bunch of mobsters who are just licking their chops, hoping they can get in office and serve their globalist masters, who will reward them richly and make sure they're taking care of the rest of their lives, provided with bodyguards, for selling out their country. Wake up to what's going on here, folks. Your election's a fraud. These candidates are a fraud. Anybody who gets mainstream attention in mainstream media is nobody worth your attention. I'll tell you right now. If they're getting attention, we need to be looking at the underdogs, the ones who aren't getting the big bucks. Those are the ones who are going to be serving your interests, not the ones who are getting the big money. Those are the people who have been controlling this country, the big money bags. This whole system is completely controlled by what I call the globalists. Not just me, of course, a lot of us. I didn't coin the term, but they're are called globalists, the ones who are working toward this global system of government. Anyway, let me get back to Jesse Helms, continuing with his quote here. He said, private organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Trilateral Commission, the Dartmouth Conference, the Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies, the Atlantic Institute, and the Bilderberg Group serve to disseminate and to coordinate the plans for the so-called New World Order in powerful business, financial, academic, and official circles. The viewpoint of the establishment today is called globalism. The phrase one world is still apt because nothing has changed in the minds and actions of those promoting policies consistent with its fundamental tenets. In the globalist point of view, nation states and national boundaries do not count for anything. Did you catch that? He said this back in 1987, and here we are now with our borders wide open. National boundaries do not count for anything. So don't think that this is a U.S. or American empire that's being built here. They're stripping us to the bone like they are all other countries. Our country is being systematically dismantled like any other. It's all about getting rid of boundaries and borders and merging everyone together under one tyrannical system of global control. He goes on here, he says, indeed, even constitutions are irrelevant to the exercise of power. You want to know why we have the Patriot Act, why we have the Military Commissions Act, why we have Homeland Security Act? They're trashing your Constitution. They're taking away your rights and freedoms. It's high time we wake up to what's been going on here. They've been taking us for a ride for way too long. We're at the point now we don't even know what freedom is anymore. We think we still have it when, in fact, everything has been stripped from us. We've gone from the land of the home of the brave, land of the free and home of the brave, to land of the fee and home of the slave. Anyway, let me fish up one last line of this quote here. He says, in this point of view, the activities of international financial and industrial forces should be oriented to bringing this one world design. So here he's revealing that, you know, we're dealing with a political system, a financial system, all working toward the same goal. They want to enslave you politically, financially. So, you know, all these economic trade deals, these so-called free trade deals, NAFTA and CAFTA and the FTAA, all of them are formulated and controlled by the same people for the same purpose, to concentrate, consolidate more money and more power in their hands, stripping you of your money and your power. You can't deny it anymore, folks. It's become way too obvious what's going on here. You really have to be complete mental incompetent to not see this. And, you know, it's no accident that all the while we see this going on, we have a population that's dumbed down with Prozac and Ritalin and other psychotropic drugs. About one-third of all adults in this country today are on some form of psychotropic medication, as well as one-third of all school-age kids are on Ritalin or some kind of, you know, lithium. It's unbelievable what's going on here. This stuff is designed to dumb you down under the guise of treating, ADD, ADHD. What do you think they got these titles? They didn't even exist until just a couple decades ago. They made these things up off the top of their head. There's nothing to these diagnoses, ADD, ADHD. Give me a break. It's called hyperactivity from probably eating too much sugar, for crying out loud, or too much caffeine in the stupid soft drinks. Get your kids off the garbage. Get them out and exercising instead of playing video games all day. You'll see those behaviors go away. But you put them on these psychotropics, and you're going to have, walking zombies, basically. And that's the whole purpose. So by the time they graduate, they won't have the wherewithal to know enough not to sign up for the military, because that's be the only thing that will look appealing to them instead of going to college and getting into a debt that is the equivalent of buying a house nowadays. And then there's no guarantee they'll get out and get a job anyway, because most of the high-paying jobs have gone to India and China. So, you know, the military is looking like an acceptable option now for kids graduating. That's just what they want, which is why when Bush passed his fraudulent No Child Left Behind Act, which I might add, many Republicans in Congress are now opposed to, and they're standing up against it. You gotta love it. But anyway, in that act, when he passed it, the scoundrel included a provision that requires high schools around the country to actually hand over the names and addresses of their entire student body to the local recruitment offices. So, there you go. Get them on the Ritalin, dumb them down, dope them up, so by the time they graduate, they won't won't have to call the recruiting office. The recruiting office will call them and convince them how wonderful it is in the military. Oh, yes, we'll pay for your schooling, this, that, 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 and the other. We'll do all these wonderful things for you. That is, if you survive the wars we send you to, because we won't give you any armored vehicles to protect you from pot shots being taken at you, and if you can handle breathing that depleted uranium and don't get cancer in the next 5 years and die anyway. So what's going on, people? This country is turned into a military meat grinder, and they want to send your kids into it, your daughters, as well as your sons. Oh, yes, anyone who can aim a gun and fire, they want to send them over there. They're even taking foreigners now. Oh, they'll take foreigners, yeah, the illegal aliens that come over here, sure, they'll send them over there too. Anyone they can get, they don't care. It's quite the scam. And then all the while, Halliburton at the unbidded contracts, cha-ching, making billions, charging $60 for a six-pack of Coke that you pay for. They don't care how high the national debt goes. They laugh all the way to the bank. The more money they can suck out of you and get away with it, the better. Bush keeps asking for more and more and more and more to send over to a war that we shouldn't have been involved in the first place. Nice country we have here, huh? Actually, the country's great. It's the government that sucks. You know, we have no business in Afghanistan, for that matter, not Iraq. So many people have yet to wake up to that reality. We were not only lied into the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan was a fraud as well. No connection, as I mentioned last week, between Afghanistan and 9/11. That's been admitted by Robert Mueller, the FBI director. Absolutely no evidence has ever been presented that the Afghan people had anything to do, the Taliban or otherwise, or Osama bin Laden, for that matter. This is one big, massive Hollywood production here, folks, and a very lousy one at that. Anyway, let me go on, read more quotes. I just read you one from 1987. Let's see if we can pick this up even earlier. Were there people in Congress warning about this same cabal working behind the scenes controlling this government back in the 1950s? Absolutely. February 23rd, 1954, this entry was made in the Congressional Record. The speaker was Senator William Jenner, who told Congress, quote, "Outwardly, we have a constitutional government. However, we have operating within our government and political system another body representing another form of government, a bureaucratic elite, which believes our Constitution is outmoded. All the strange developments in foreign policy agreements may be traced to this group who are going to make us over to suit their pleasure. We have a well-organized political action group in this country determined to destroy our Constitution and establish a one-party state. The important point to remember about this group is not its ideology, but its organization. It is a dynamic, aggressive, elite core forcing its way through every opening to make a breach for a collectivist one-party state. It operates secretly, silently, continuously to transform our government without the people suspecting that change is underway. If I seem to be extremist, the reason is that this revolutionary clique cannot be understood unless we accept the fact that they are extremist. It is difficult for people governed by reasonableness and morality to imagine the existence of a movement which ignores reasonableness and boasts of its determination to destroy, which ignores morality and boasts of its cleverness in outwitting its opponents by abandoning all scruples. This ruthless, power-seeking elite is a disease of our country. This group is answerable to neither the President, the Congress, nor the courts. It is practically irremovable." That's an astonishing statement. That goes back to 1954, folks. That's three decades before the previous quote I just read you. So can you not see that this same system has been in place, working covertly, working behind the scenes, quietly, manipulating, pulling strings, orchestrating fiasco after fiasco, without the public being aware of what's going on? I just read to you two congressmen who have said the same thing 30 years apart. keep you going all night. The show only lasts so long. We don't have enough time to go through all the quotes. Like I said, you want to read more of this, go to 911blog.org, scroll down. You can read my file on the right. You'll see the New World Disorder, or you can order a printed copy. I'll even sign it. You can get that from me at 39 Fruit Street, Milford, Massachusetts, 01757. That's $40, which includes shipping. 39 Fruit Street, Milford, Massachusetts, 01757. Or again, you can just go to 911blog.org, and you can read it there free. But I do hope you will read it. I hope you will see that this information is fully documented, easily verifiable. I take you to some irrefutable, unquestionable sources, congressional records, you know, other government documents, books written by notable historians, Walter Lefebvre, for example, from Cornell University, a nationally renowned, in fact, world-renowned historian, has written a definitive work on American foreign policy over the past 100 years. It's called The American Age. And he talks about the fraudulent nature of the Cold War and how big money has been working behind the scenes, you know, pulling the strings to advance their political and financial interests under the guise of fighting communism. The book came out in the mid-90s, so it's, you know, it doesn't cover this fraudulent war on terror. I'm sure he would bring that out, though, if it was up to date, because that's all this is. It's just a, you know, it's another fiasco like the Cold War. They just changed the focus. But again, it's the same game. They use the Cold War as an excuse to invade any country they wanted, any time, any place, anywhere, so they could steal their resources and get them under their control en route to global government. Now they're doing the same thing again with the war on terror. It's too painfully obvious to turn a blind eye or a deaf ear toward anymore. You can't deny it. You know, you'll get your little government shills out there. They'll go on the blog sites, put them into the chat rooms, and they'll try to convince you that when you talk this way, you're paranoid, you're crazy. They just want to frighten you away or to intimidate you or make you feel like a fool so you won't look into it. Again, that's the Fox News tactic. Make you feel small, make you feel like a fool, conspiracy nut, so that you won't look into it, because they know full well that if you do, there's no way that they could ever fool you again. And that's how they get away with what they're doing. They're fooling you. They're suckering you. As long as they can keep that game going and play the little magician's trick so that they get you looking away from where the trick is really being played, you know, the sleight of hand routine. As long as they can distract your attention, get you looking at this fictitious Osama bin Laden who's been dead since 2001, but yet releasing these fake videos all the time, so you think he's out there, the boogeyman's going to get you any minute, as if they couldn't catch him if they really wanted him, if he was alive. I mean, give me a break. Satellite surveillance system that can tell what brand of underwear you put on this morning, but they can't find Osama. It's nonsense, folks. They're playing you like a fine Stradivarius violin, keeping you in fear so they can manipulate you like a little puppet. Wake up to what's going on here. The media is in on this. Most of academia is in on this. And your government does not work in your interest. Another show I want to do sometime is to talk about Katrina and the fiasco that went on there. That's another one of the big scams, folks. For 8 days, FEMA wouldn't allow help to get into that city. 50 countries offered food, clothing, water, you name it, medicine. They would not allow them in. They turned them all away. Trucks were sent from all over the country to help those people. For 8 days, they were lined up outside the city. They wouldn't let them in. Not only that, they wouldn't let people get out of the city to get help. This policy was designed to maximize the death toll down there so that when Halliburton came in with the unbidded contracts again, they could grab up all of that land that nobody was claiming because they were dead, and they can build away with federal-appointed funds that were supposed to go to help people. It went most of it to Halliburton's pockets, folks. And then Bush passes an executive order that they don't have to pay prevailing wages to the laborers down there. This is just, it's unbelievable. The crimes that this administration has committed dwarf anything in American history. Absolutely astonishing what they have been getting away with. And people are still sitting down. I mean, he's not even the legitimate president. He wasn't elected in 2000. He wasn't elected in 2004. So he's illegitimate not only because he's not running this country according to its laws and according Union, but he's not legitimate because he was never elected. These scoundrels rigged and stole the election so they could put us overnight what would have taken, you know, decades to accomplish. They could bring us ever closer to their goal of world domination. You know, just after the 9/11 attacks, in fact, the very, I think it was the next day, Gary Hart is speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the primary fronts for the New World Order. And he actually said, there is a chance that the President can use this opportunity to bring about a New World Order. He's talking about 9/11. Oh, you can bet he was rubbing his hands together on that one. We can use 9/11 to advance the New World Order. That's all it was about. That was the whole intent. Anyway, here's some more quotes here. This is a former Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Felix Frankfurter. He once said, the real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes. The real rulers in Washington, he said, exercise power from behind the scenes. They're invisible. You don't know them. The media doesn't talk about them. They're not in the spotlight. They prefer to remain in the shadows so that you'll just get angry with the politicians when really they're just puppets themselves. Oh, that doesn't exempt them from blame. They know what they're doing. They know they're selling their country out and they don't care. They're profiting from it. But the real power, the money power behind the scenes. Listen to what John F. Hyland, the former New York mayor, once said about this same scheme. This goes back to March 26, 1922. So you can get a better idea that, you know, how long this has been going on. He said, the real menace of our republic is the invisible government, which, like a giant octopus, spreads its slimy length over our city, state, and nation. At the head is a small group of banking houses, generally referred to as international bankers. This little coterie of powerful international bankers virtually run our government for their own selfish purposes. That was quoted in the New York Times, by the way, the very next day, March 27th, 2002. I mean, 1922, sorry about that. Folks, again, this goes back to 1922. I read earlier from Jesse Helms, 1987. Then another congressman back in 1954. Now I just took you back to 1922, and you can see the same thing was going on back then. The real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes. We have a hand up here in our virtual auditorium on Pell Talk. A good friend of mine, in fact, goes by the name of Jesse. And so at this time, I'll turn the mic over to Jess. You can state your brief question or comment, and then we'll go from there.
Well, thank you very much, Charlie, for taking my call. listen, I heard it somewhere that George Bush Sr. first mentioned the New World Order on September 11th, 1990, or 91. Is that correct?
Yeah, very good question. Yeah, indeed, it was 1990, just after the invasion of Iraq. And by the way, that invasion was very interesting. Before I get to that, though, let me just comment. Yeah, the date September 11th has popped up many times. Many significant events have occurred on that date. For example, when the CIA took out Salvador Allende, the president of Chile back in 1973, that was on September 11th. The commencement of the construction of the Pentagon occurred on September 11th. The commencement of the building of the World Trade Center towers was on September 11th. There's been numerous things. It's kind of like April 19th has been another bizarre date for political happenings. The bombing, the first bombing of the World Trade Center, the Oklahoma City bombing. But anyway, as far as the Iraq invasion went, that's pretty interesting how that came about. Here we have another scam set up in order to going to war. We have another scam set up right now with Iran taking place. It was announced last week that there was a defector, a general from Iran. It turns out he wasn't a defector. In fact, it came out a day or two later by the Turkish government that the man was arrested by U.S. officials at a hotel. So he wasn't a defector. They arrested him. And they said that when he defected, that he handed over some very damaging documents that show that we have good reason now to invade Iran because of the information in these documents. Well, again, no one's seen the documents, just like nobody has seen the KSM confession, which is told what he said. These documents, I'm sure, just like the uranium documents that Powell went before the UN with, the Niger documents, those are all a scam. The same with this. They're just looking for a pretext to go to war. Well, the same thing happened there in 1990. April Glaspie went on behalf of the Bush-Baker team, Bush Senior and the Baker, the head of the State Department, James Baker. She went at their behest. She was the Iraq ambassador. She went and told Saddam that the U.S. has no vested interest in the Iraq-Kuwait border dispute. In saying that, she was giving him the go-ahead for his invasion. When Saddam heard that, he thought, oh, wow, they don't care if I invade Kuwait. Okay. So the very next day, he went in and invaded. And once he invaded, then they said, this is outrageous. This is not to be tolerated. This is an attack on a sovereign nation. And then they immediately began to beat the war drums. So again, we can see, and then of course they come out with the phony story of the Iraqi soldiers pulling babies out of an incubator. That turns out that whole thing was a fabrication. The girl that they showed crying was actually the daughter of the Kuwait Prime Minister, and the whole story was concocted by a PR firm that the Bush administration had hired. It's just unbelievable, folks. The more you look into this stuff, your jaw will just drop in astonishment at the level of criminality that we're dealing with here, and how completely fooled the public is with this kind of stuff, and how totally sold out our media is and lying to us with this garbage. Investigative journalist, my foot. But yeah, very good question, Jess. Glad you brought that up. It is interesting that, you know, these same dates keep popping up. You got your 7-11, your 7-7, your 3-11, you know, all of these are numerologically significant numbers. You know, Muslims are not numerologists. They're not into numerology. But these creep shows are. I mean, they're skull and bones, they're secret societies, they're into these numbers games. And all of these significant events do occur on key dates. You know, it's all, they plan them out purposely because they have occult significances. Let me go back to Woodrow Wilson. This is the guy under whose watch the Federal Reserve was created, as well as the graduating income tax, two of the main planks of the Communist Manifesto, that this advisor to Wilson had talked about in his book, Philip Drew. You know, the author was Edward Mandelhouse. Anyway, here's what he had to say in a book he wrote called The New Freedom, which I find very interesting because that's the name of a piece of legislation Bush got passed a few years ago, the New Freedom Initiative, which enables pharmaceutical companies to massively increase their profits by mandatorily having people, kids in schools, psychologically tested, and then putting them mandatory on medications. This has already been passed, by the way, in several Midwestern states. Minnesota, I think, was one of them. And it's going state by state, you know, voting it, determining whether they're going to vote it in or not. But as far as Bush is concerned, this law has already been passed. This is some scary stuff. Anyway, you know, he took the title from Woodrow Wilson here, his new freedom that he talked about. Anyway, in that book, listen to what, again, this is a former president of the United States. Listen to what he said. Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of somebody, are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak out. They better not speak of them above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. Here's a former president going back to the 19 scenes talking about this power working behind the scenes, and that no one dare speak out against it when speaking in condemnation of it. That's pretty astonishing, wouldn't you say? For a president of the United States to be saying this? What power could he have been talking about? He also said this, a great industrial nation is controlled by its system of credit. The growth of the nation, therefore, and all our activities are in the hands of a few men. We have come to be one of the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled governments in the civilized world. No longer a government of free opinion, no longer a government of conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men. Again, that was a former president saying this, folks. This is not, you know, some average Joe off the street. This is not some conspiracy nut. This is a president who would work behind the scenes. He realized later on in life that he had sold his nation out, and he regretted it. As a matter of fact, on his deathbed, he was recorded as saying, "I have unwittingly sold out my nation." He was referring to his signing of the Federal Reserve Act, which was signed, by the way, in late December 1913, when all of Congress was away on Christmas break. It was done very underhandedly. They were shocked when they came back to discover that this major piece of legislation had been passed and nobody even knew about it. He was coerced into doing it, and he regretted it later. He came out and spoke against it. Many pieces of legislation like this over the years have been passed in the same fashion. The Patriot Act was ramrodded through Congress without anyone even seeing it, let alone reading it. They were pressured to sign it. Ashcroft put the heat on him, and he said, you better sign this now. We need this to fight terrorism, and if you don't sign it, basically he told them, we're going to demonize you and say that you're not willing to help us fight terrorism. No congressman wanted that label put on him, so they went ahead and signed it, never having read it. The same thing was done in 1933. A major piece of Constitution-trampling legislation was passed on January 9th of that year, called the Emergency Banking Relief Act, and oh, what a relief it was. Because under that act, the following month, FDR mandatorily required all Americans to hand over their privately owned gold. From there, he turned it over to the Federal Reserve, and most Americans didn't complain because they were told, oh, we're going to pay you for your gold. Don't worry, we're going to pay you the same value of what your gold is worth in paper money, which is quite the swindle when you realize that gold has value, paper does not. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like me trading you a crumped up napkin I just wiped my mouth on for your house, and you're saying, oh, okay, well, at least I'm getting something in return. That's basically what was done there. Anyway, but listen to what the scoundrel did. Less than a year later, he turned around and devaluated that paper money that people had just traded their gold in for by 59%. He took away 59% of the purchasing power of those dollars they traded their gold in for. This is the biggest gold heist in all of recorded human history. And this guy is hailed in our textbooks as one of the greatest. In fact, some textbooks say he is the greatest president in American history. The biggest thief in recorded human history, and he's hailed as one of the greatest presidents. Well, why do you think that is? Because the scoundrels that he served so well, who own our printing presses, have created that illusion. And to this day, so many suckers hail him as such. And you can bet they'll probably hail Bush in coming decades as one of the greatest presidents in American history. Why? Not because the people like him, the people can't stand the wretch, but the boys on Wall Street love him because he's selling his country out, raping and pillaging this country to fatten their wallets and increase their power. Those are the ones that become the heroes in the textbooks, folks. You ever hear the saying, the winners write the textbooks? Well, that's absolutely true. And guess who the winners are here? And guess who's writing your textbooks? Guess who's controlling your media? Guess who's running your churches, too, for that matter? We're going to have a whole show dedicated some night to the corruption of organized religion and how the government has hijacked that and controlling that through the 501c3 tax-exempt corporation status. Outposts of the Homeland Security apparatus. Did you know that? All churches are part of Homeland Security by executive order. So we'll do that some night and talk about how people are being deceived, not just by the media, not just by academia, but by their 501c3 steepled corporation. corporations that many mistakenly call churches. Absolute scams. Get out of them. Nothing will keep you more in the dark than those corrupt, monstrous systems. They're picking your pocket, telling you to live humble while they drive away in Mercedes-Benz is absolutely disgusting. One of the biggest New World Order whores out there on TV right now is Pat Robertson. Best buddies with Daddy Bush. Did you know that? They grew up together. They were childhood friends. Watch out for those wolves in sheep's clothing. Anyway, we're about at the end here. I don't see any hands up. But I do want to thank all of our visitors here in the Pal Talk Virtual Auditorium, as well as our listeners on Paranormal Radio Network. And I want to remind everyone again, the truth does hurt, but better we take the bitter truth than the sweet lie. We do need to wake up to what's going on here and stop living in a fantasy world. Turn off the boob tube, get off the Prozac, and start entering the realm of reality. This world is run by incredibly evil people, and as long as we sit back and continue to allow them to get away with what they're doing, it's going to be hell on earth. As bad as things are right now, we're going to look back at these days as the good old days if we don't start snapping out of it and educating ourselves, stripping ourselves of this propaganda machine called the media. Stop listening to it. Get real news. Find out what's really going on behind the scenes. Recognize who's really pulling the strings. And one of the ways you can do that, once again, is going to the ParanormalRadioNetwork.com website. You can click on my Truth Threats banner, or just go to 911blog.org. Again, scroll down on the right, you'll see the New World Disorder file of mine. I encourage you to read that. It's a couple hundred pages, but you will be amazed at what you will discover in there. I tried as best as I could to give a full blanket coverage of this subject. It's multifaceted. It's very deep and involving. I couldn't even cover half or a tenth of all of the scandals that have gone on over the years that have pushed us toward this goal. But in that file, I pretty much gave a pretty well-rounded coverage of it. And again, it's fully documented. You can check my resources for yourself and see I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I was. I wish I was just paranoid. I wish somebody could prove me wrong. But unfortunately, the more you look into this, the more you find out it is, in fact, what's going on. So again, you can go to the website and read it, or you can order a printed copy, which I'll sign by sending a money order to me at 39 Fruit Street in Milford, Massachusetts, and the zip is 01757. Okay, next week we'll be having, as I mentioned, one of our good friends here on Pal Talk, goes by the name of Natasha. She'll be on as my guest. We're going to be talking about martial law, not only what they plan on doing in the future, how they plan to get us involved in that, but we're going to be talking about things that have already been going on in this country that most people aren't even aware of, that are leading us, you know, that pretty much already have us there. We might not see the tanks rolling down our streets, but essentially we already have the legal precedent set up for martial law, and they have actually already been engaging in police Gestapo-type tactics. You know, tasering senior citizens, arresting and handcuffing little kids, you know, raiding homes without any evidence that there's drug dealings going on, just so that they can steal the house away from the owner, because the new laws state that, you know, if they invade a home, under, you know, for the cause of drugs, even though there's no drugs found, no evidence of drugs found, they can still keep the home. We're going to be talking about a lot of things like this, a lot of these laws that have been passed, a lot of these activities that have been going on. This is stuff right out of Nazi Germany, and again, most people don't even realize that this stuff is happening. So we're going to be talking about that to make you aware of what's happening, and hopefully we can make a difference simply by educating people. They've been getting away with this because they've kept us in the dark. And now, by waking people up and making them aware, hopefully we can stop these scoundrels before they have gotten their full implementation of their new world order, because that is what this is all about. Again, thank you. We'll see you next week at the same time. Until then, keep fighting for the truth.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us tonight on Truth Hurts. We'll be back again next week with some more painful reality with your host, Charles Giuliani.
Secrets in this life that I can't hide.